नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who's a translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta preshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, we're continuing reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, entitled Rahugana Converses with Jada Bharata. And the text should be 16, right? Okay. Prasajati Kwapi Malata Mujashayas Tad Arshayav Vyakta Pada Dvija Spriha Kwachit Kadachit Dhari Chakratas Trasan Sakyam Vidhate Pakka Kanka Kridrai Prasajati Kwapi Lata Bujashayas Tad Ashaya Vyakta Pada Dvijaspriha Kwachit Kadachit Dhari Chakratastrasan Sakyam Vidate Vaka Kanka Gridrai Prasajati Kwapi Lata Bujashayas Tad Ashaya Vyakta Pada Dvijaspriha Kwachit Karachit Dhari Chakratastrasan Sakyang Vidate Bakakanka Gridrai Prasajati Kwapi Lata Bujashayas Tad Ashaya Vyakta Pada Dvijaspriha Kwachit Karachit Dhari Chakratastrasan Sakyang Vidate Bakakanka Gridrai. Please chant. Sakyang Virate Bakakanka Gridrai. Prasajati Kwapi Lata Bujashayas. Tadashaya Yakta Padadvijaspriha. Kwachit Kadachit Dhari Vak Chakratastrasan. Sakyam Virate Bakakanka Gridrai. Vaishnavis, prasachati kva pilata bhujashayas tarashaya vyakta pada dvijaspriha. Achit kana achit dhari chakritas trasan sakyam vidate bakakan kagritrai. Anyone else? Okay, synonyms. Prasajati becomes more and more attached. Kwapi, sometimes. Lata bhuja ashayaha, who takes shelter of the soft arms of his beautiful wife, which are like creepers. Tadashaya, who are sheltered by such creepers. Avyaktapada, who sing unclear songs. Dvijaspriha, desiring to hear birds. Kwachit, sometimes. Kadachit, somewhere. Harichakrataha, trasan, being afraid of the roaring sound of a lion. Sakyam, friendship. Vidhate, makes. Vakakanka giridrai, with cranes, herons, and vultures. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Sometimes the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers. Being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons, and vultures. Please repeat. Sometimes the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers. Being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons, and vultures. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the forest of the material world, there are many animals and birds, trees and creepers. Sometimes the living entity wants to take shelter of the creepers. In other words, he wants to be happy being embraced by the creeper-like arms of his wife. Within the creepers, there are many chirping birds. This indicates that he wants to satisfy himself by hearing the sweet voice of his wife. In old age, however, he sometimes becomes afraid of imminent death, which is compared to a roaring lion. To save himself from the lion's attack, he takes shelter of some bogus swamis, yogis, incarnations, pretenders, and cheaters. Being misled by the illusory energy in this way, he spoils his life. It is said, Harim vina mritim na taranti. No one can be saved from the imminent danger of death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Hari indicates the lion as well as the Supreme Lord. To be saved from the hands of Hari, the lion of death, one must take shelter of the Supreme Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People with a poor fund of knowledge take shelter of non-devotee cheaters and pretenders in order to be saved from the clutches of death. In the forest of the material world, the living entity first of all wants to be very happy by taking shelter of the creeper-like arms of his wife and hearing her sweet voice. Later he would sometimes take shelter of so-called gurus and sadhus who are like cranes, herons, and vultures. Thus he is cheated both ways by not taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shtarine Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishavangsha. Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tang Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasha Kanvatamsa Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So just to make sure you're awake, who's speaking in this verse? Who's speaking? Who said this shloka? Jad Bharat, yes, that's the title of the chapter. Talks between King Rahugana and Jad Bharat. So Jad Bharat is speaking. We know he was an Avaduta, apparently not educated, not socially aware. So how is it that he has such knowledge? How is it that he can educate a king about worldly matters, family life, what's going on in the world? I mean, where does he get this knowledge from? He's an Avaduta. Or we look at Shukadeva Goswami, the celebrated speaker of the Bhagavatam. He stayed in the womb of his mother for 16 years, refused to come out because he didn't want to participate in any worldly affairs. And then Lord Krishna personally had to come and convince him, please take birth. In other words, give your mother a break already. Now, we have some women in the room here. Can you imagine carrying a child for 16 years? My God. So Krishna had to come personally and advise him to come out of the womb. And as soon as he took birth, he left home, took off, didn't stick around. Took off naked, just walking through the forest like that. Yet when he came to where Maharaj Parikit was about to leave this world on the banks of the Ganges, he also gave similar instructions about worldly affairs, family life. Where did he get that knowledge from? Nowadays we have this foolish idea that you can only speak conclusively on something if you experience it yourself. We have the saying in English, walk a mile in my shoes, and then you can talk about my life. But that is third class learning. Actually, second class, they say. To actually experience. Huh? First class understanding is to hear. So Shukadeva Goswami, he could advise Maharaj Parikshit because he heard from Vyasadeva. He heard. And understood. And therefore, he didn't have to experience all of these miseries that that are being discussed. Similarly, Jad Bharat, he heard. And in his case, he actually remembered from previous lifetimes. So he didn't have to go through it again before he could give good advice. So we should learn from this, that one can learn and save oneself a lot of trouble in life if you hear properly. Hear properly and put into practice what you hear, and then you don't have to experience the misery to be able to advise others. So Jad Bharat here is talking about, you could say, the dangers of family life. That's not to say that the sadhus are telling everybody not to get married, but try to understand what it is you're getting into, what the ultimate goal of life is. And then you won't be entangled, you won't be entrapped. So here the danger is that the living entity is compared to a man. I mean, the soul, in general, inhabits 8,400,000 different species of life. And in all of those species, most of them anyway, there are male and female forms. So, but in this particular analogy, the soul is being compared to the male, and the male natural tendency is to take shelter of female for happiness, for enjoyment. So, it's being warned here that yes, you want to take shelter of your wife, creeper-like arms it's mentioned here, and to hear her sweet voices is compared to the chirping of birds. But don't think that that is the be-all and end-all of life. We know from experience, most of us, we're mostly adults in the room now, that it is not the be-all and end-all. Quite often, that very person that you take shelter of for happiness and enjoyment turns around to be your biggest source of pain. Isn't it? I mean, look at Tiger Woods right now. Ellen, I don't know what her life was like before she met him. I mean, something, she was like, you could say an au pair. She was working and taking care of people's children like that, like a nanny. And then she meets this topmost, you know, athlete in the world in terms of earnings and success. The guy's, you know, in 10 years earned $1 billion. So that's quite a jump from being like a nanny to marrying a billionaire. And so, I mean, life looks wonderful. The guy's young, handsome, strong, top of his game. He's got $1 billion. What more could be, you know, what could be better? And then in a few short years now, she's ready to divorce him. So this is how things turn around in the material world. And that's why the sadhus, the Jadbharats of the world, the Shukadev Goswamis of the world, warn us, this is not the be-all and end-all of life. Don't look for your ultimate happiness in a temporary arrangement, such as marriage, or any arrangement in this material world. As we know, the Bhagavatam informs us that there are 5 primary relationships that we can have. A neutral, one of neutrality, that's compared to plants, animals, they're mostly neutral relationship with human beings in any case. And then there's the servitorship. You are serving someone. Practically, technically speaking, everyone in this material world is a servant. You may be the top of your game, you may be the president, you may be the CEO, but you're also serving. You cannot avoid service in this material world. You may think, well, I don't serve my employees, they serve me. Yeah, but then you go home and you serve your dog. You take the dog out. I grew up in New York, and you see all these guys in the morning, they dress in a suit and tie and an overcoat, and they're walking the dog. The dog passes through, and in New York, you have to pick it up, otherwise you get a ticket. So here is CEO of some big company, and the dog poops and he has to pick it up. So who's the servant and who's the master? So everybody in this world is a servant. But for reasons of comparison, there's a relationship of servitorship. And then there's a relationship of friendship. You may serve your friend, but it's in a friendly way. I do for you, you do for me. We try to enhance each other's happiness in this world. Friendship. And then there's parental relationship. The parent is always taking care of the child. Even when the child grows up, the parent is always worried. How is he doing? How is she doing? Wants to take care. But there's increased love there. Friendships can break real easily, but generally speaking, the parental relationship goes on. Even when the child turns out to be a criminal, the story Prabhupada used to tell. The boy became a criminal because his parents coddled him like anything, especially the mother. Anything he wanted, she would give. Anything he did, she forgave, no matter what. So gradually just became worse and worse and worse and became a criminal. So now he was thrown into jail for his crimes. And the mother came crying, "Oh, my son, I love you still." And he called her close to his cell and they bit off her ear. And why? How can you do that to your mother? Because it's your fault. If you hadn't been so, kind to me my whole life and didn't, punish me at all for the things that I did wrong, I wouldn't have wound up like this. So you can't win as a parent. No matter what you do, the child is going to blame you. Generally speaking, the parents know that there's going to come a point in time when there is no gratitude anymore. And we've seen that practically. Children even born in wealthy families, and they can't wait for the parents to die and so they can inherit. They kill them so they can get the money early. So this is, in the material world. There's no real love here. There's no real gratitude. And then the 5th relationship, the one of conjugal love, where one is in love with somebody as a lover and you want to serve the person. So it includes all the other relationships. You want to serve them. You want to take care of them like that. And then there's romance. But again, this is, as we just mentioned, with Tiger Woods and his wife, that also breaks. So the sadhus warn us, don't take shelter of any of these relationships in the material world. Yes, as long as you're here, you have to engage. You have a mother and a father. You can't change that. You can't say, I break the contract. No. You took birth in a particular family. That's for life. For this life anyway. But we know that's really just for this life. As in the case of Chuchuketu. King Chuchuketu, it was mentioned this morning, that because of his offense to Lord Shiva, he fell down. But his earlier life was also interesting. As a king, he had how many wives did Chuchuketu have? He had millions of wives. He was trying like anything to have a son, because as a king, you want to have an heir to take over the kingdom. And particularly speaking in the Vedic culture, it's one of primogeniture. So the firstborn male inherits everything. But anyway, so he was trying to have a son. He couldn't. He kept marrying another wife. He had thousands and thousands of million wives. Nobody could bear a son for him. So finally, by the blessings of sage, Angira Muni, was it? One wife became pregnant and gave birth to a son. So what joy in the house, what joy in the kingdom. King is happy, the wife is happy. But the other co-wives were not happy. They were completely miserable. We tried to bear the king a son, we couldn't, and this one came and gave a son. Now what is our position? And total envy. So they plotted and they poisoned the child, killed him. So now the king is devastated, the mother is devastated, everybody, the whole kingdom is devastated because the prince is killed. So again, the sages come, and by mantras, Narad Muni brings his son back because he's very powerful, Narad Muni. So the son comes back, and he comes back to life. And the father is saying, "Oh, my son." And the son says to him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm your father. Don't you remember?" He said, "No, I've had so many thousands and thousands of fathers. I don't remember you." And this is the case with all of us. Every time we take birth, you get a particular mother and father. Either it's a human being, or it's a cat, or a dog, or whatever. You take birth in this world, generally speaking, in four ways. Who remembers the four ways? There are four ways in general that a living entity takes birth in the material world. So when you take birth from the woman, the mother and father, that's called Jaruja. But there are three other ways. Who remembers the other three? Come on, think. Wake up. Bhagavatam classes to be sharpening your intelligence, not for sleeping and dozing off. To sharpen your intelligence. What are the three other ways that living entities appear in the material world? I'll give you one other. Yeah, that's called? That's called?
I don't know the name.
Alright, so there's Jaruja, when you take birth, you gestate in the womb and then you take birth like human beings do. Then there's Udbija, so many plants, creepers we're talking about, they take birth from a seed. The seed is called Bija. So Udbija. Then eggs, so many living entities lay eggs and then the egg matures and then the child comes. That's called Andaja. Right? And then the fourth one, by perspiration, that's called Swedaja. So, come on, be sharp. Remember, those four things. I'm going to test you next class. Don't forget. All right, so four ways of living entities appear. But every time you take birth, there's usually a mother and father involved. And so you forget. When you take birth in the next birth, the mother and father from your last life may even still be alive. You don't know that. It's possible. Sometimes the child is born, and within days, the child dies. So that child could again get another birth, and the previous mother and father could still be alive. So we've had so many millions and trillions of mothers and fathers. But human life is not meant just to have a mother and father, material mother and father. Because again, everybody gets that. The cats, the dogs, they get mother and father too. We're meant to take a second birth. And in the second birth, who's the mother? Who's the mother? The scriptures, the Vedic literatures. And who's the father? The spiritual master. So as living beings in human bodies, we're meant to take second birth. The cats and dogs are not offered second birth. But human beings are meant to get a second birth, where the mother is the scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and the father is the guru. And when one takes that second birth, it means, just like recently we had initiations, initiation means it's a beginning. It's not that now I'm initiated, now I'm saved, everything is alright, I can do whatever I want. No. Initiation is a beginning. Now you have a chance to really go forward and make a success of the human form of life by hearing from your mother the scriptures, and being guided by the spiritual master, the father, then one can really, after that second birth, take off. You can zoom your way back to Godhead. Or you can again become enamored of the material atmosphere and fall down. So we need to guard against that. That's why the sadhus, the sages, are warning. Jad Bharat here is warning King Rahugana, but as I mentioned, Shukadeva Goswami is also in that status of being apparently not educated, not experienced. As a matter of fact, there's a verse that says that directly. It says, Tasya putra mahayogi samadri nirvikapaka ekata matir udnidra guda mura ivayate. It says, Tasya putra, his son, Vyasadeva's son, mahayogi. He was not just a regular yogi, mahayogi. Great, great advanced soul. Samadrin Nirvikalpaka, but he was fixed in the monistic viewpoint. Guda Mudhavayate, because he was inexperienced Guda, then he appeared to be foolish, like a mudha. And therefore we know the story, when he left home and he was walking along naked, 16-year-old, all the children and the women, they were making fun of him. As a matter of fact, they were following him and teasing him. Until he came to the assembly of sages, and everybody stood up. And then they realized, this is not an ordinary person. And then they ran away. So he was advising Maharaj Parikshit that taking shelter of the wife and bank balance and all, these are Atmasainishu. These are fallible soldiers. So he said this very important verse. Deha patar kalatradishu atmasainishu satsupi. Tesham pramana nidhanam pashanapi na pashate. And Prabhupada gives a very wonderful translation there. Persons who are devoid of atma-tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too much attached to the fallible soldiers such as a body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they do not see their ultimate demise. They cannot see that. Again, because they take this false shelter. So we're meant to wake up and not be lulled to sleep by having beautiful wife or a nice husband. Again, look at Erin. She has beautiful husband, handsome husband, bank full of money, and still the guy turned out to be a rascal. Still her life is now miserable. She has to contemplate divorce. So don't take shelter of these false soldiers. Husband, wife, children, bank balance, fame. All these things are fleeting and will be taken away at the time of death. Remember that death is coming. Here death is compared to a lion. And it's said that the living entity, being afraid of this lion of death, is taking shelter of cranes, herons, and vultures. Now, if you're in the forest, it actually makes sense to take shelter of the birds. They can't save you from the lion. If a lion attacks you, no bird can save you. But they give you early warning. They give you early warning. They start, that's why the monkeys and all these, you know, if you go to the forest, you watch them, you watch the monkeys, you watch the birds. Because if they take off, if they start screaming, you know some danger is coming. But in this case, the birds are compared to false swamis and false yogis. People who just tell you, yes, 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 everything is okay. Yes, 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 just give me money and I'll bless you, I'll hug you. I hug you and everything is okay. This is not going to save you. Somebody's hugging you. It's not going to save you from that. What's going to save you from that, Shukadeva Goswami says later on, after saying this verse about false soldiers, he says, Tasmat Bharata Saravatma, Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari, Shotavya Kirtitavya Shash, Chaitasya Abhacho Bayam, that if you want to be fearless, then you have to take shelter of Krishna. You have to take shelter of Krishna. No other shelter is going to save you at the time of death. You have to take shelter of Krishna. And then he goes on further to say, Etan nirvidyamananam ichyutam okatobayam yoginam nirvanirnitam harinamam anikirtan. You have to chant, not just take shelter of Krishna, because yes, 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 I love Krishna. Many people say like that. Oh, I know Krishna. Especially the book distributors says no. When you go out to distribute books and you approach a lot of the Indians, yes, 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 we know Krishna. But meanwhile, they're taking shelter of Microsoft. They take shelter of, you know, Best Buy. They don't take shelter of Krishna. So you have to take shelter of Krishna by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Shukadeva Goswami says, yes, no matter what your situation is, etan nirbidyamananam. No, you may be the most renounced person, ichchatam, or you may have all desires, akutobayam, yoginam, you may be a highly advanced yogi. Doesn't matter. Take shelter of Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and you'll be fearless. Go back to home, back to Godhead. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments?
Pretended, I mean, suppose they practice in Krishna consciousness, I believe that taking shelter on it, you know, the spouse or is a proper thing, because if the person is practicing Krishna consciousness, then we can remind to the other person Krishna, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It turned it off, please, otherwise I'll feel bad. So the point she's making is that you have to take shelter, or you should take shelter of husband and wife in a Krishna conscious arrangement. So yes, the scripture is not talking about those who are, it's talking about the Grihamedis, those who are simply thinking that if I get involved with this beautiful woman, or if I get involved with that handsome guy, or he's got the right bank balance, everything will be wonderful. That's not a Krishna conscious attitude, obviously. When devotees get married to each other, it's for giving each other assistance to go forward in spiritual life. But even then, one can get distracted. Therefore, Kunti prays. Kunti had a devotee family. The five Pandavas are her sons. Practically the whole family of pure devotees. But she's praying, let my attraction for these Pandavas, Vishnus, and the Pandus be broken. And let my attraction flow just to you, Krishna. So, the pure devotee set the example. Even if you're in a devotee relationship, still, don't forget, that the prime person is Krishna. Similarly, the Pandavas, they were willing to die to protect Kunti and Draupadi. But in the end, they just walked out of the palace because they were ready to go back to Godhead. They didn't even turn back. They didn't even look back. Draupadi was looking out the window. She saw, hey, there's Yudhishthira. There's Arjuna. Bhima, where are they going? So at the end, they showed that even though their whole life, they were willing to die to protect those women, still at the end, Krishna. So Krishna is always the prime. Oh, as devotees, we shouldn't forget that. Not that I'm married to a nice devotee lady so I can relax or vice versa. No. Still, Krishna. I have to focus on Krishna. Otherwise, again, you can become distracted. Just like Bharat Maharaj, who's now Judd Bharat. He was on the topmost platform almost. Baba. And still he became distracted by a deer. So what to speak of becoming attracted by your beautiful wife, distracted, or, you know, or your children or whatever. So one should take full shelter of Krishna in all circumstances, and that alone will give us the impetus that we need to get out of here. Otherwise, again, so many lifetimes we rise up a little bit out of the material muck, and then again we become attracted and fall back, and then that's why we're here again. We have to take birth again. So we don't want to take any more births here. Sometimes, you know, last time I was traveling in Europe just a few months back, I told a story before, I think. So this young man, new person, I gave the Sunday feast lecture in Croatia, in Zagreb. So yes, he said, you know, why do devotees talk about liberation? Aren't we supposed to be beyond that? And we're just, you know, be willing to take birth again in the material world? That is an extremely high platform. In the beginning, that's why Prabhupada said, focus your mind on going back to Godhead. Because if you don't do that, then you don't get any impetus to get out of here. You become complacent. Oh, everything is alright. I got a nice car, I got a nice job, I got a nice wife who's a devotee, I got everything nice. No impetus to get out. So yes, we want to be liberated. Not the kind of liberation that the impersonalists want, to merge into the existence of God, no. But the devotees will accept any of the other four of the five types of liberation, which are to live on the same planet as the Lord, to have the same opulence of the Lord, to have the same appearance as the Lord, as we know, like in the Vaikuntha planets. Everybody, see Ujjayi and Vijayi here. They all look exactly like Vishnu. They have four arms and all the symbols and everything. And to be one of the personal associates of the Lord. These are the four other kinds of liberation that the devotees will accept. But we can't artificially think, oh, you know, liberation, I don't even think about it. No, I want to be liberated. That's how you begin. You have to want to get out of here, to go back to the kingdom of God. And Krishna himself says, that's why he says, Na tad bhashayate surya, na shashankina pavaka. He's describing his abode, because he wants us to develop desire to come back there. Otherwise, if you don't develop that desire, you become very complacent. You know, another day, I pick up the beads, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, like that. No, it says, that the verse we recite every morning, that one can go on reciting Hare Krishna mantra for millions of births. But if you commit offenses, you can stay here. In other words, one of the offenses, the tenth offense, is to not want to get out of here, to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So this is how we maintain material attachments, by not developing a strong desire to get out of here and to go back to. And why do we want to stay here? This place is nuts. It's a madhouse. It's a madhouse. You know, we talk about crazy people and this and that, but we're all crazy here. Because we have a good home and a perfect father, Krishna, waiting for us, and we don't want to go. We just want to hang out here with each other. We keep taking shelter of another conditioned soul. And what do you think you're going to get? You're going to get misery. Conditioned soul means they're going to make mistakes. They're subject to illusion. Cheating propensity. Very strong in Kali Yuga. Cheating propensity is extremely strong. I don't know something, but I pretend that I know and I want to teach others. That's cheating. That's cheating. That's why it's warned today's verse. Don't take shelter of these false swamis and yogis and bogies. They can't give you anything but more misery, another birth in the material world. So we have to become extremely focused, and develop a strong desire to go back to Godhead. Matarat Srila Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So, oops.